Welcome to the Take Six podcast.
We have got ourselves a series. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Take Six podcast. As always, I am your host, Hunter Surplus. Today, we're talking Raptors. And to talk Raptors, as always, on the other line with me, Mr. Callum Wise. Callum, what is up?
Buddy, the whole world is up right now for Toronto fans, you and me alike. I love it. We've got ourselves a series. Everyone count us out. You know why? You know why we're winning right now? Because Paul Pierce's stupid head said the series is over when they went up 2-0. And the Paul Pierce curse is real, man. He called that when Boston went up 1-0. They got swept right after that. 2-0 for Milwaukee. Now it's a 2-2 series. Wouldn't be surprised if Toronto had a 4-game turnaround.
So whose curse is stronger, the Drake curse or the Paul Pierce curse?
I don't know, because Drake hasn't worn a piece of clothing yet from one of the teams. It's not been if Drake shows up. It's if he's worn a piece of the clothing. Hopefully that man will wear some Milwaukee stuff when they're in Milwaukee. But so far, it looks like the Paul Pierce curse is real. I mean, ever since he called out, or he said, like, Dwayne Wade wasn't all that. I mean, it's been downhill for that man.
Yeah, Paul Pierce. Keep talking up Milwaukee, please, because A.
Just stick to basketball, buddy.
Stick to playing, not guessing. So, anyways, like I said, we have ourselves a series. I watched the game with Callum on Thursday, and I haven't seen you since then. We haven't really talked about that, because you left to go watch Game of Thrones instead of hanging out with us at the bars. And then I haven't.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Thursday.
Oh, on what the hell am I talking about? Yeah, on Sunday. So we watched on Sunday. I haven't seen him since. So we haven't really talked about Game 3 or Game 4. This is our first time. Let's start off with Game 1. The Raptors won 118-112 in double overtime, which was extremely nerve-wracking but exciting at the same time. It was kind of a boring double overtime game. Like, a lot of the times when games go into double overtime and there's a really close game at the end with like 2 minutes left, it's usually really exciting, really fun to watch. But for some reason, this one was like not that. It wasn't, obviously, for Raptors fans, it was exciting and fun to see their team end up pulling it out. But I don't know, there wasn't any, like, it's not like there was a buzzer beater. There weren't any like huge clutch shots that came down at the end of the game outside of that Chris Middleton layup. And maybe I'm biased. I mean, I am 100% biased. But maybe it's just because those clutch shots didn't come really for the Raptors. And then Giannis ended up fouling out. Lowry fouled out with 6 minutes left, and Norm Powell fouled out, who was one of the better players in that game. So, like, I don't know, three of the six best guys in the game weren't playing in the two overtimes. So, I mean, that probably added to what was the boringness of the game, just because obviously Giannis would have made an entertaining factor, and Kyle Lowry out there making plays would have been a little bit more entertaining than Fred VanVleet probably. But the Raptors did have a bunch of chances to put the game away in regulation, in overtime, in that first OT. I think they were up four with less than a minute two or three times, which was pretty bad. Neither team shot very well, under 40% for both teams. What did you see from this team that, you know, helped them get this really, really ugly win?
I mean, Kawhi, obviously. Kawhi came up super clutch in those final, like the fourth and the double overtimes, like those big slams, you know, got the crowd into it, all that, especially with, like, because I remember when Lowry fouled out, like, all of us were like, oh God, this might be game, because that would mean Fred VanVleet, who at the time was playing really bad, would have to be in for the remainder of the game. I guess it kind of worked out. Obviously, I think we could have won the game in regulation if Kyle Lowry was still in, but a good to, like, obviously Antetokounmpo also fouled out, so that gave us some help. I think it was pretty much Kawhi who just turned the tables in those double overtime, scoring so many of his points, I think, in that fourth and double OT.
And to me, like, also, like, obviously Kawhi was huge there, but I do think that it was kind of the non Kawhi players as well, and being able to frustrate Giannis on the defensive end, because Giannis only had 12 points in that game, and that is not a game that you're going to see a lot from Giannis. But he was, and we'll talk about this in game two as well, but he was like visibly frustrated by the end of game one, and I think that probably played into him getting the fouls, and I'm sure some of it was the fact that he was getting all these fouls. And like you said, Kawhi played 52 minutes, which is the most out of his career, and I think he did come up hobbling at one point. And then there were other points in the game where he was kind of hobbling around and not looking necessarily 100%. And they haven't come out with him with an injury or anything. Like Nick Nurse hasn't said he's injured. Kawhi hasn't said he's injured. He just kind of said that he's sore. So I don't necessarily know. Like a lot of people are speculating that this was an injury and that this was, you know, maybe it's the same right quad injury that he had in San Antonio that made him sit out. But he's playing through it, and it's, you know, he's playing really well. So now let's kind of move on to game two here, Cal. Game two, they won 120 to 102. They pretty much dominated, not necessarily throughout the game, but they were moments in that first half where they looked really good outside of that first quarter where Giannis was kind of dominant was really special because of what, like I said, what the non-Kawhi guys did in this game. Fred VanVleet had a really good game. And he had his first game with double digits since the first game of the playoffs this year. So that's a whole lot of games where, you know, Fred VanVleet was the man for the Raptors for a very long time. And now he is hopefully kind of reverting back to that. And the guards on Milwaukee aren't as good as maybe the guards on Philadelphia are, which is hopefully putting confidence into Fred VanVleet where he can get his shot and where he can play like that. And obviously Ibaka had a really good game. He, to me, I tweeted it out at some point last night that Ibaka has looked more dominant than Giannis has at some points during this game. And I think that's pretty true. He was unreal on the glass. I made a couple notes of it that Ibaka was fantastic getting offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. He was everywhere on the defensive end. He was converting on those offensive rebounds, and he was really getting those monstrous dunks and those monstrous putbacks that, A, the crowd gets fired up when you get an offensive rebound no matter what, and B, when you can put back a massive slam and kick up your feet like you're a crazy man when you do slam that and you do kind of hang on the ring a little bit.
Scream in Giannis's face.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about that. Who has the better mean mug? Is it Serge Ibaka or Giannis Antetokounmpo? Because Giannis has gotten so much love and praise from everybody around the NBA for his mean mug. What do you think?
I don't know. That one last night by Ibaka, bro, that was some crazy person stuff. Like,
bro, it's got to be Ibaka. It's got to be Ibaka.
Last
man.
Night, it was Ibaka for sure. It was easily Ibaka.
So I saw someone tweet last night. I can't remember who it was. I can't credit them, but they tweeted out, "You never mess with someone who eats bull penis." And
very
true. You know what? That holds true because Kawhi's been dominant all playoffs. Basically, since he's eaten dick, Kawhi Leonard has been dominant, and Serge Ibaka just showed that
penis is the way to go.
Yeah, and I said this earlier that like, I think that they should have had I think I said this on the South of the Six podcast. They should have made a How Hungry Are You episode where they ate some sort of deer dish. You know what I'm saying? Fear the deer. How about we eat the deer and we kill the deer and we beat them in six games? How about that? That's what they should have done. I think that would have been fantastic marketing by the Raptors and fantastic, you know, showmanship by Serge Ibaka. But you know what? That's past. That's in the past. That is nothing that we need to talk about right now. I do want to talk about Kawhi not looking 100%. That game tonight, he only had 19 points, which to me, like, it feels like he hasn't scored only 19 points in like forever, dude. Right?
Since before the playoffs, at least.
Yeah. Oh my God, it feels like it's been 100 games since he hasn't scored like 20 points or whatever. Is there an issue that you see coming about with this team? Do you think they can keep up this run of play, especially these past two games, this run of winning and consistency where they can win without Kawhi Leonard at 100%, without Kawhi Leonard taking north of 20, 25 shots a game?
I hope so, just because that would mean our bench is actually going to be putting in work like they did last night, and I want that to happen because, first of all, it gets the crowd –
like really going, you know, like seeing these guys put in work, like Van Vliet, Powell, Ibaka, all these guys that you haven't seen all season, pretty much like put in work, or not season, all postseason. Yeah, at, like their plus minuses were insane last night. There was plus 29 for Powell, plus 24 for Ibaka, plus 25 for Van Vliet. I just showed that they dominated the Milwaukee bench, which hasn't happened all series. And when Kawhi Leonard isn't playing at 100%, you need those guys to show up, and they did. And we dominated the Bucks the entire game. I don't even think they led at one point. Or maybe they did at the beginning.
Yeah, they led early, and it was only really like 3-point swings here and there, right? Like Milwaukee would go on a bit of a run.
The first quarter was 32-31 for Toronto.
Yeah, and so
the closest one.
So let's talk about the first quarter a little bit. In that first quarter, Milwaukee and specifically Giannis were looking fairly dominant. And when I say dominant, I mean Giannis was pretty much getting to the paint at will. They didn't have Kawhi Leonard on him during that stretch of the game. And I think that's more of they kind of did the Brad Stevens tactic there, where they just kind of throw something different that, you know, they didn't use their last game. They just threw something different at him for that first quarter, for the first 6-7 minutes of the game, just so that he gets a different look and that maybe they have to play a little bit differently than they game plan. Then once they switch onto that game plan, onto the new guy that's guarding him, then they throw out Kawhi on him. I don't know if that's what happened, but at about, you know, the start of the game, Giannis had early free throws to start. He had a big dunk where he did that stupid little mean mug. He got to the line quite a bit. And I'm just happy that he had a couple blocks early. And once I saw that happening, and I saw Giannis kind of getting into a zone and getting into something that we hadn't really seen since game one and game two, I was getting a little bit worried because he was looking really good off the bat, and he was going to really tear up this Raptors team and this Raptors defense based on how easy it was for him getting to the rim. He only ended up finishing with 25 points and 10 rebounds. And I say only, you know, very, very softly. That doesn't hold a lot of ground there, because 25 and 10 is still a fantastic number. But when this Bucks team isn't looking as good, and I think they did a really good job adjusting to this, the Raptors on the defensive end, was that they weren't letting they were making Giannis rely on the outside guys. Giannis only took 17 shots. And I think that was a big thing to me. Like, were you nervous right out the gate when Giannis was just kind of dunking on everybody and doing that little mean mug of his and walking around all flexy and stuff like that? Like, I was nervous to start off that game. I didn't think it was going to go down very well.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. But like, I'm never nervous after the first quarter. I think the first quarter doesn't like mean a huge amount about what the game's going to turn out to be. Like, especially after the end of the first quarter, the Raptors like pulled it back and they took the lead because of those big plays by Ibaka and switching the momentum to the Raptors. But in the first, like, whatever, 5-10 minutes, when Giannis was just doing whatever he wanted, I knew something had to change. But I didn't think that he was just going to keep doing that just because of our amazing defense that we've shown.
Yeah, that's I agree with that. Obviously, Chris Middleton kind of went off for the Bucks today last night with 30 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, which is very good.
Yeah, he was not missing, man.
Yeah, I think he shot over 70% last night, which is pretty crazy.
11 of 15.
Yeah, so that's nuts. That guy, if you had told me that Giannis was going to get 25 and Middleton was going to get 30, I probably would have thought, based on the play of the bench and the non-Kawhi guys in the Philly series, and not so much in this series, but a little bit to start this series, I would have said, all right, well, we're down 3-1 and this series is probably over in 5. Norman Powell, Callum, is having the series of his life. He's having the series of his career, and he's showing why we gave him that kind of big mid-level exception contract at the, you know, 2 seasons ago after he kind of showed out for us. Right now, he's averaging 14.3 points per game on 42% shooting from 3, and he's taken 6.5 attempts. Last night, He had 18 points. He was only, you know, he only shot 33% from the field, shooting 6 of 18, but he added 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. What are you seeing different from Norm Powell in this series than in the series in Philadelphia, where he really struggled?
I think it's just confidence, man. Like, he did not have the confidence to shoot at all during that Philly series. Like, if he was on, which was very rare, he would just pass the ball, maybe take a three here and there. He would miss it, and then he would never shoot again. And I think, obviously, because he would hit those first shots in these games, then he has the confidence to keep shooting. But I think even if you do miss it, he should keep shooting, man. Like, that's what I've been saying with all the guys who've been, like, playing not so great. Like, you just got to keep shooting. Like, I don't know what's going on with VanVleet. Obviously, he had a really good night last night, but even when he would shoot, like, he would keep shooting and he would keep missing, and the shots would be just as bad. I mean, last night was a different story, man. Like, he went 5 for 6, 3 for 3 from three-point land, and he was just playing really well. He, like, so was Powell. Like, these two guys who were a part of that bench mob that got us to that first place in the East last year, but obviously they didn't really show up in the playoffs, and we got dominated by Cleveland. So I think that these two guys are the key to beating Milwaukee, because if we have that second and, like, secondary, like, the bench role of scoring against a Milwaukee team who has really good players on their bench, like Brogdon, Ilivasova, Hill, even like Cogutin and all those guys, like, if you can outscore them, then our starting five can put in the work and win us those games. So I think that Powell showing confidence is, like, his biggest thing.
Yeah, it's definitely his aggressiveness, and that essentially is, you know, confidence from him. You never would have seen Norman Powell take 18 shots in a game in that Philadelphia series. And if you did, you would have been like, oh my God, what the hell is this guy doing? You should get That's him off crazy. The court, right? Yeah, this guy's nuts. But for right now, right, he is letting them fly. He took 13 three-pointers last night. He was 4 of 13. And to me, which was kind of nuts, I didn't think I was going to feel this way ever about Norman Powell these playoffs, but every time he took a three, it seemed like, damn, that's going to go in. Or
even if they missed, they were on point.
Exactly. And so the crazy thing about last night's game also is that Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet kind of took away Danny Green and Pascal Siakam's numbers. Norman Powell had 32 minutes. Siakam only had 23. Danny Green only had 25, and Fred VanVleet only had 25 as well. Do you see this continuing on in the series? Obviously, they had success tonight. Do you think that they're going to be able to keep this up? And do you think that Nick Nurse is going to keep rolling out these younger Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet rather than Pascal Siakam and Danny Green?
I mean, I hope so. I hope that he keeps giving these guys more time if they do end up playing well. And especially if, like, Leonard is not playing 100%. Like, you saw him come up limping on that dunk against Giannis yesterday, which was kind of scary. But I feel like he's not going to be, like, really injured. But he might have to, like, lower his minute count. Like, he did last night. He only had 34 minutes. Gasol had 31. Lowry had 34, and then Green and Siakam only had 25 and 23 for the both of them. So, and Norman Powell had 32 minutes, man. Like, he had the third most minutes on the team and took the most shots on the team. So I think that shows that your coach has confidence in you. And if you keep getting the ball from your teammates have confidence in you, bro. And that's, like, a big thing for Powell, I think. I think that when he wasn't getting any looks during the season – is why he played so poorly. Like, he didn't really get any chance to play because Nick Nurse was just focusing on that starting five. So I think that this is a really good thing for them to find right now against the Milwaukee Bucks. And hopefully going into Milwaukee, we'll have the same outcome.
Yeah, and I think it's important to find that rotation and find the minutes that you need to allocate. And I think a lot of it does just come out to who has the hot hand that night. But even then, like, in those 23 minutes that Pascal Siakam played, like, he didn't play horrible. It's not like he's getting benched or anything like that. He had 7 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. He was 50% from the field. And, you know, he did have 2 turnovers and 5 fouls. So that's a big reason as to why he isn't getting out there. But that's mainly because he's guarding Giannis. And 5 fouls in 23 minutes isn't something that you like to see. And the same thing with Danny Green. He had four fouls. He was getting in foul trouble early. Some very stupid fouls. But I think once you find that perfect blend between, you know, the bench unit and the starters and the all the minutes and the rotations and all that kind of stuff, that's when this team is really going to find its groove. And you know what? It does suck that it has taken this long to really get some of these bench guys going. And who knows? It was only one game, right? Maybe they go back to their Osmo's curse from, you know, earlier this playoffs. But to me, it's all looking on the up and up right now, because Fred VanVleet has looked better in these past games. He has looked more confident. He has been shooting the ball notably better in these 2 games at home, which hopefully can continue. Like you said, he was, he did shoot 1 of 11 in game 3, but in this game tonight, he did shoot better. He had a timely 3, the one shot that he did make. And it doesn't hurt when you have a guy like Danny Green, who is not shooting the ball very well and not confident in his shot out there. Outside of winning, you know, the game on the road, which is kind of the obvious answer to what I'm going to ask you, what is the key to the Raptors holding momentum and being able to win this series? Like, obviously, I think they have to win game 5. Game 5 is always known as a quote unquote pivotal game, right? Obviously, they have to win game 5. What is the key, though, to holding momentum and keeping this kind of streak of wins going over the Bucks?
I mean, it's tough, man. Because, like, obviously you want to focus on the Kawhi show, because that's what's gotten you to this point. And he's, like, the best player in the league currently, like, based on the playoffs. And, like, Lowry has been having a series. He's been playing really well. But also, Powell, like, you want these guys to, like, I think the bench is definitely one of the biggest things you need against Milwaukee. Because, like I said before, their bench is also really good. They have really good shooters on the bench. And if we have those, like, really good shooters on our bench, then it makes up the difference. And I definitely think that our starting 5 is better than theirs. So we can probably not take over, but win games just based on that, if the bench matches up well enough with their bench.
Yeah, and you mentioned the starting 5. I think the Raptors played the best starting 5 probably in the East. Obviously, there's Golden State, who has the best starting 5 in the league. But outside of Golden State, they probably played the best starting 5 last series against the Sixers. And you mentioned the bench kind of having to match up. And the bench didn't match up in that series against the Sixers. So it was basically starting 5 against starting 5. And then, you know, the Sixers had a 3-player advantage in that series because the bench was so bad. In this series, I think it's the same thing. Like you said, it's going to have to be starting 5 against starting 5. And then you're going to have to match what those, you know, second unit guys bring. I don't think Brogdon is going to be as bad as he was last night. Again, he was terrible, but he'd been really good in the rest of the series. Bledsoe has not been good this series. I don't think that's going to change. I think that will probably stay the same. But I believe that Kawhi Leonard is the best player in this series. And they mentioned it kind of on the Bill Simmons podcast and on the starters, that Kawhi Leonard has those offensive tools to dominate even when being double teamed, that Giannis still doesn't have. And obviously, one of the biggest adjustments that the Raptors have made is bringing that double and even sometimes triple teams onto Giannis and forcing those outside guys to shoot. Both teams are essentially playing the same style of defense on the other team's best player. Both teams are getting the double team onto Giannis or onto Kawhi. And it's just dependent on if these outside guys can make those shots. And Kawhi isn't going to play all of his minutes with the starters. When he plays 35, 36 minutes, they're not all going to be with the starters. Norm Powell is going to get in there. Fred VanVleet's going to get in there sometimes. Serge Ibaka is obviously going to get in there. So it's all about whether these guys can make their shots. And they did last night to an extent where Serge Ibaka was dominant. He had 17. And Powell was dominant. He had 18. And Fred VanVleet had double digits. So I'm with you on that one where they do need to get the bench rolling. And they do need to match Milwaukee's bench with their own, because without that, it's going to be Giannis versus Kawhi. And I do think Kawhi is better, but like I said about that Sixers series, they're going to have the 2 or 3 man advantage because of the bench, if the bench can't step up and continue what they did today. And this was the only real game where the bench looked really, really good. Obviously Norm Powell played really well and Abakas had a good few games, but and the bench as a totality has not really looked good since that first series. So, I mean, I can hope that it's going to keep going. And obviously, I do hope that it keeps going. But is it likely? I'm not 100% sure that it is. But I do have a lot more confidence now after seeing what they did in game 4 than I did after, you know, game 1, 2, and 3 to an extent. So, obviously, there has been fans that, first of all, when I want to talk about the fans here, I want to talk about the problems with the fans. But there, did you see on the broadcast yesterday what Jurassic Park was looking like last night?
I did.
That is nuts. That's
insane.
It's bonkers, dude. It is bonkers what these guys are coming out and bringing out. They had it up front, like they had it everywhere. It was probably, you know, there was like 3 blocks full of people. And that's impressive. I do love the fans in Toronto and I do love this, but there are some fans who are bringing a lot of negativity and who were bringing a lot of negativity after game 1 and 2. They kind of wrote the team off. They wrote the Raptors off out of the series, out of the playoffs. And I just want to say they should shut it, right? Yep. Both teams could have easily won either game 1 or 3. You know, it just depends if they made 1 or 2 more shots, they made 1 or 2 more free throws. Either team could have won either game 1 or 3. And I think the Raptors probably should have won game 1, but they let it slip away. And the Bucks could have won game 3 and they let it slip away. So either way, this series is either 2-2 or 3-1 in the Raptors' favor or 3-1 in the Bucks' favor. Callum, do you have anything to say to the people that wrote off the Raptors after game 1 and 2?
Just exactly what you said. Just shut it. Shut up and watch. Not shut up and dribble. Shut up and watch. Like, if you're a Toronto fan, never write this team off, man. Like, obviously, like, they hear that stuff. Like, these guys, you think these guys don't go on social media? You're crazy. These guys go on social media and they see that people are writing them off. And, like, sometimes it has some negative effects, man. Like, those guys last year, they saw that people are like, oh, LeBronto, all this stupid stuff, and it got to their heads, and they just got dominated the rest of the series. I think they could have beaten Cleveland because Cleveland was such a bad team. Cleveland was, like, probably one of the worst. They showed it this year. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They just had LeBron, man. Like, it's like what you have to do with Antetokounmpo. Just limit his scoring. Doesn't matter if this guy scores 25. You score 50. You can score 50 with 5 guys. What can they do? They can't do anything. They have a terrible entire team. And, like, it's because of, like, what was being said. I think that got to DeMar's head because DeMar listens to what everybody says pretty much. And that affects how he plays. So I think that fans should never count out this Raptors team, especially this one. Because, like they showed last night, they can dominate the Milwaukee Bucks, who were first in the league.
The Raptors are maybe not the better team, but have the better player. And it's the playoffs. Like I said in our last podcast, the series doesn't start until the road team wins. Milwaukee did what they were supposed to do at home by winning. And obviously, that game 2 was not the way that you wanted it to go. But like I said, the Raptors probably should have won game 1. They had one of the best first halves that I've seen them play this whole year. And then they just kind of laid an egg in the second half. And then that energy came over once again into that game two. But they still had a really, not a really good second half, but they had a good second half, which showed that they were on, they were looking better. They carried that little bit of momentum over into game three, and they got help from the fans and the crowd and were able to pull out a big win in game three and then one in game four. They did what they were supposed to do at home, so did the Raptors. So I didn't understand why people were getting so frustrated and upset and negative about it. I do understand the frustration. Sorry, I should say that. I do understand the frustration with the team because they should have won one of those games. They should have played better in game two. But I don't understand the negativity that was brought and them basically saying that they should be written off and taking the Paul Pierce approach of making sure that they kind of call this series done, because the Raptors hadn't had a game at home quite yet. And there's a lot of people who did pick the Raptors in six and who did pick the Raptors in seven, maybe. And I don't know, man, it didn't make sense to me. Like I said, both teams could have won game one or three. And if one team wins both those games, this series is a totally different story, right? So lastly, on the topic of fans still, there's this new thing going around Toronto called the Kawhi and Dine. Callum, what are your thoughts on the Kawhi and Dine? And what would you do to make Kawhi Leonard stay?
Okay. Well, for the people who don't know, first of all, Kawhi and Dine is restaurants can sign up and they can put a big ass sticker in their window, and Kawhi can eat there for free for life. And as of the first day that they made it, 50 plus restaurants had already signed up. So that just shows you like how much Toronto wants Kawhi to stay. And I really like this move. I don't like it's. There are probably some bum places that are doing it, but like it's really cool to see that these people are giving away money pretty much to make Kawhi stay. Like you wouldn't see this. I don't think you would see this for DeMar DeRozan. I don't think, like, even though like I love that guy, you love that guy as your favorite player, I don't think that Toronto would do this for him, because Kawhi is just such, like, he's on an entirely different pedestal, man. Like, he's one of the best in the league, best in the playoffs, and he's a generation player. Like, you're not going to get another guy like this for a long, long time. So I really like this movement. It's pretty funny. Hopefully he'll see it, and hopefully it puts something in the back of his mind. You know, like, Toronto loves you, man. San Antonio didn't do this stupid stuff. They were booing you and everything. Like, screw those guys. Stay in Toronto. What would I do, though? Buddy, can take my house. Live in my house, Kawhi. That's all I got.
Yeah, so I really like it, and I do think it shows the importance of, like, Kawhi Leonard and the impact that he's had on not just the Raptors, but, like, the city as a whole, which is really cool, and how much this team is being backed by not just, you know, fans, but everybody, really. Like, everybody is liking this team, and we've kind of gone from a Toronto, you know, hockey city to a Toronto is a basketball city, which is really cool, and it's really fun to see, especially with a guy as talented as Kawhi Leonard. And I mean, the low post and Howard Beck, so like Zach Lowe and Howard Beck, in each of their last like few podcasts have kind of said that, yeah, there's a growing chance, there's an increasing chance that Kawhi Leonard is going to stay. And like, I don't think it's because of things like this, but it definitely doesn't hurt. And I think it just shows that, you know, Kawhi Leonard is loved. He's got the murals up and stuff like that. And I think it's pretty dope. In terms of what I would do, I would do anything. Yeah, you know what I mean? Same. Like, I would do anything. Like, this guy in a Raptors uniform for the next 4 or 5 years would be something special. And it would be something that, like, none of us really would have expected coming into this season. And after that trade, like, a lot of people were upset about the trade, and like, including myself, for the first 24 hours, I was upset and with all the news coming out that, yeah, he's not even going to report. He's not even going to – all this kind of stuff. I wasn't upset about it. I still understood that it was the trade that needed to be made, and you do it 10 times out of 10 if you have the opportunity to trade for a top five player in the league for DeMar DeRozan. Like, you do that any day of the week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, you do it. Any time, any moment in life, you do it. But the whole emotional aspect of trading him and the negativity that was coming on and him not wanting to be here and all the reports that came out about that, like, it kind of hurt, and it was not nice to hear as a Raptors fan, as a guy who's followed the team for so many years and who has you know, really enjoyed this team and who has been a part of the Raptors culture for so long, like you and I have and all the people in Toronto have. And I don't think it ever would have gotten to this point, right, where people are making these signs of Kawhi and Dine and giving this guy free food because of, you know, maybe there is an actual fighting chance that the Raptors do sign him. And even if they don't, I think it's a really cool thing that this whole city is getting behind something and businesses are getting behind somebody staying, and the whole city is loving some player who, you know, 8 months ago we never thought was really ever going to come back, and we didn't even know if he was going to report to the team. And obviously that whole narrative has changed because he's here. He is playing on a, whether it's an injury or just playing through soreness, he is here and he's playing his heart out and he's giving his all. And everything that he says, he's made a bunch of comments basically saying, yeah, I want to make history here. I want to win a championship here. I want to do this here. I want to win for this team. I want to, you know, all this kind of stuff that he's saying. I know I didn't think that this was going to happen 8 months ago. I'm sure you didn't think about it. I'm sure, you know, 75% of Raptors fans didn't really think that this was possible and this was going to be a step that we're at. So I think it's really cool to see this. And also, like, this, the CEO of Condo Store Realty, Simon Mas, he's offering Kawhi Leonard a multi-million dollar penthouse for free if he signs. And that just kind of furthers my point, right? Like, everybody here is just doing anything that they can to offer Kawhi Leonard to stay. And if I was the CEO of Condo Store Realty, I would be doing the exact same thing. Hell, I'd give him three free condos in each district of the GTA. Like, wherever he wants to live, that's where you're going. And I don't know, man. It's just dope to see. And I love being a part of this era of the Raptors. And whether he stays or not, like, this year is super dope. And kind of like, I'm reflecting on it. Like, this is the last game of his career, but I don't know, man. Seeing all this kind of stuff is really cool, and being able to, obviously I'm not a part of it. I'm not a business owner who can say that, you know, Kawhi can dine for free, but you know what, Kawhi Leonard, you feel free, come over whenever, and I'll make you a dinner, lunch, breakfast at any moment of the day. I will drop anything and do that. So Kawhi can dine at my house for free whenever he wants. Callum, that will be it for the show. Thank you everybody for listening. Callum, thank you for taking time out of your day and chatting with me, my dumbass. Hopefully the Raptors can keep it going. As always, you can find us at takesix.org, where we have a bunch of articles and blog posts up there. We post our podcasts up there. Anywhere you listen to your podcasts, you can find us. You can give us a rating and review. You can subscribe, and all that is very appreciated. Follow us on Twitter at @take_6 and Instagram at @take6podcast. Everybody, thank you so much. Go Raptors. We the North.